you bow with me as we pray? Father God, as we pause once again this evening, thank you for the gift of life and the breath of life. Father, I pray for the many people tonight that are struggling with all kinds of various crises in their lives and all sorts of situations and circumstances. And Father, for those that are grieving all over the world who have lost loved ones and during this time of life, oh God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would bring comfort to their hearts, give them encouragement, oh God, for the days to come. And Father, I pray for the many healthcare professionals all over the world, as many of them, Father, are exhausted, they're tired, mentally they are fatigued from all of what they have seen. God, I pray for those that work in these emergency situations and hospitals all over the world, oh God, that you would just help them to find the extra grace and strength and peace and help and hope as they reach out to do their best to help other people. Father, I thank you for this church. Thank you for your wonderful people. Thank you for their kindness, for their kind words of encouragement to me and to our staff. And Father, I just thank you that we have an opportunity, even in times like these, through the medium of using the internet, the technology that we have today, where we can still remain connected to our church family. Father, I pray your blessings upon their lives. I pray for divine safety for them in the days to come. Bless us this evening as we look together at your word, as we glean from these various scriptures, oh God, the personal touch that Jesus had upon the lives of people. Father, may it reveal to us the importance of us reaching out and touching someone day by day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Before we look at the Bible study tonight, I read an article that I think is a very interesting article. A World War II veteran receives 125,000 birthday cards. The title of the article said, "God uses us as we are, not as we wish to be." And it goes on and it says, Captain Tom Moore is a British World War II veteran. He recently raised more than $36 million for the National Health Service by completing laps of his garden with the help of his walker. People tuned in online from across the globe to watch his progress and to support his cause. James Hodgson, the headmaster of the nearby Bedford School in central England, has taken on the gargantuan task of opening and displaying the cards. "It's the most amazing outpouring of love for a great man," he says. The floor of his school has become a sea of goodwill wishes. Volunteers have spent hours reading them over the last week. Hodgson said, "We've had cards from all around the world, not just the United Kingdom. We've had cards from 2-year-olds, and we've had cards from 92-year-olds. The plan is to display as many as possible and send Captain Moore a photo of the results. One hand-drawn card from an 11-year-old Rebecca in South Wales read, 'To my hero, thank you for all you have done. You will help a lot of people with the money that you have raised.'" When I read about that and read about this World War II veteran and realizing that he just took his situation where he was, and during this time of social distancing, he wanted to do something to reach out and touch, something to reach out and help. And as I read that article, I could not help but think about that you and I have a personal opportunity each day of our lives. You know, I have alluded to the fact oftentimes that Max Lucado said, it's what we do in the here and the now that makes the difference in the then and the there. And as I thought about tonight's Bible study, found in several passages throughout the Bible, I want to speak on the personal touch. The personal touch of Jesus that not only transformed lives in the passages that we're going to look at this evening, but his personal touch, his intimacy with us in our daily lives transforms who we are. It transforms us into what we need to be, and it is a touch of the Master's hand. Now, I know that all over the world tonight, there are people that need the touch of the Master's hand. When I think about people that are struggling tonight, those that if there ever was a time that people need the touch upon their lives, I certainly believe it's now. I believe because of all that we are experiencing in our world, the food shortages, the protein shortages, the worry over trying to find a vaccination for the coronavirus, and all of the many, many challenges that we have not only here in America, but that we are having all over the world tonight. And as I looked at these particular passages this evening about how Jesus reached out. You know, Jesus came to the earth and he spent 33 years upon the earth, and the last three and a half years of Jesus's life, we know about from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We know about the acts and the ministry and the way Jesus invested himself into the lives of others, how Jesus personally touched people's lives. When I think about our five senses that we have, I think about one of those being the touch. I believe that one of the most important things that you and I can do in our lives is to reach out and touch. Someone wrote a song about that one time. Reach out and touch somebody if you can. And I think tonight as we glean through these particular scriptures, you and I will see the impact that Jesus made in the hearts and lives of other people. And how that you and I can impact our world by reaching out and touching and being a witness and being a testimony of the grace of Almighty God. Now, he will produce changes that no other touch can duplicate. You know, there's a lot of people struggling, a lot of people trying to find that human touch right now, with people being so isolated and yet with much of the country beginning to open up some various places, and yet there are still people who are frightened because we still don't know the results of what will happen in the days to come. But I'm grateful tonight for the touch of Christ. It's an intimate touch. When he touched the leper out there, he demonstrated a desire on the part to become intimately involved with man's life. You see, everywhere Jesus went about doing good. Jesus went about trying to reach people, to touch people's life, to make a great impact in their lives. I believe that as Christians, once you and I receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and we are to go out into our world, we're to impact our world for Christ. We're to speak breath and life into the lives of people through the Word of God and through our witness and through our testimony. Now, when Jesus touched Simon, he was no longer necessarily Simon, but he was Peter. And Petra, rock. When Christ touched Jacob, if you'll remember, old father Jacob, who became Israel, and he had the sons of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. But Jacob, in his early parts of his life, Jacob was a great trickster. But let me tell you, when he was touched by God, it changed his life forever. When God touched Abram, Abraham would become Abraham, the father of the nation of Israel. When God touched Elijah, when Elijah felt weak and defeated and almost to the point of wanting to give up, God touched him through an angel and refreshed him, and he became Elijah, the man of good. When God touched Moses, it transformed his life. Moses had murdered a man one day, And Moses would be transformed because God would use him to be the emancipator for his chosen people that had become slaves down in Egypt. Let me tell you, his touch tonight is a powerful touch. But the touch of Christ is also, it's a transforming touch. It's a transforming touch. All of humanity is nothing but clay. You and I are clay. I mean, you know, we are, as the psalmist said, he remembers my frame and he knows that I'm dust. All of us are clay in the potter's hands. And let me tell you, we're with hope until we have a touch from the master, until he touches us. And when he touches us, let me tell you, there's a great transformation. There is a great change in our lives. People look at us and people see our lives and they determine, do they want what we have? And so tonight, I want to spend some time looking at a few events from the life of Jesus that showcase the power of his incredible touch upon the lives of people that he came in contact with. Let me tell you, there is power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So walk with me for a few minutes as we explore this powerful touch of Jesus. First of all, his touch transformed the diseased. His touch transformed the disease. That word transform means to change. And of course, when Jesus touched the diseased, it changed them forever. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 15, we read about Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus touched her. And the scripture says, so he, speaking of Jesus, touched her, speaking of Peter's mother-in-law's hand. And the fever left her, and she arose and serve them. Let me tell you, in her condition, Peter's mother-in-law represents all of those that are afflicted by the blight of sin. She was in a hopeless condition, but when she received the touch of the master's hand upon her life, she was forever changed. Not only did the physical fever leave her, but let me tell you, she would turn in faith to Christ. His touch cleanses the sinner from his sin, and it transforms the sinner from a wasted life. Let me tell you, his touch transformed the disease. But secondly tonight, we see in Mark chapter 7 and verse 33 that his touch transformed the deaf. His touch transformed the deaf. Deaf. This is about a deaf man. He couldn't hear. That's one of the five senses, our hearing. I see people all the time that have trouble hearing. They have trouble understanding. And sometimes we fail to remember that when we are talking with people and they have trouble with hearing and understanding, that we need to be much more succinct in the way we talk, so that even for those who read lips, that they might be able to follow us. The Bible says here in Mark chapter 7, and he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Let me tell you, those verses go on to say that Jesus spoke a word which meant be opened. And then verse 33 of that text says, immediately his eyes were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosed and he spoke plainly. Here was a man. He could not communicate with anyone. He could not hear. He could not speak. But let me tell you, when he met Jesus, when Jesus reached out, when Jesus put his fingers in the deaf man's ears, and Jesus spat and touched his tongue, let me tell you, his hearing returned to him. He was able to speak with his tongue. Let me tell you, there was a transforming touch. There was a transformation of power that surged through this deaf man, and he would forever be changed, because Jesus reached out and Jesus touched him. Let me tell you, the touch of Jesus does the same tonight for the sinner. When I think about all the people in the world tonight when I think of all the people in the past 2,000 years since Jesus came. And I think about how Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. You see, Jesus came because he loved humanity. He loved humanity. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus loves me. This I know. Let me tell you, what the world needs tonight is the touch of the love of the living Christ. The only hope for the world tonight is to know Jesus in a personal and an intimate way. Let me tell you, Jesus came and Jesus reached out. He came to save sinners, but in saving sinners, Jesus reached out during the days of his earthly ministry, and he ministered healing to people. As people saw his ministry, they began to see these incredible miracles that Jesus had performed and that Jesus had wrought in order to bring a transformation, not only physically in the lives of people, but spiritually as well. Thirdly, tonight, we see that his touch transformed the darkened. His touch transformed the darkened. We read in Mark verses 9:29 and John 9:6. Then Jesus touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And then in John chapter 9, verse 6, when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Here's a man, he's born blind at birth. The other night on television, they were showing three triplets. I'm not sure how old they were. They were probably maybe in their late 20s, 30s, I'm not sure, but all three of them were blind. They had been adopted into a family where the man and his wife that adopted them, the man was blind also. And as I listened to that story, all three of those blind young men had been stricken with the coronavirus. And as I listened to their testimonies being told there on the television newscast, I could not help but think of this passage of scripture. I'm grateful, I'm thankful that Jesus is the great healer. Jesus, his ways are beyond our ways. His thoughts are beyond our thoughts. The Bible tells us there, God is, his mind works differently than our minds work. He sees things totally differently than you and I see. But here in this scripture, Jesus spat on the ground. He made clay with saliva, and he anointed the eyes of this blind man with clay. I could not help it as I saw those three blind brothers that were triplets that you know, if they know Jesus, one of these days they'll see again. I'm so grateful for the touch that transforms the darkened in this world tonight. And then there's a fourth thing that I see here. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 3, his touch transformed those that were doomed. Let me tell you, there's a lot of people doomed all over the world tonight. I'll tell you, without Christ, mankind is hopeless. Mankind is helpless. Mankind is doomed. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 3, then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. As we look at our world tonight with all of the social distancing, there are many out there that are just going back to everyday lives as if nothing has ever changed or nothing has ever happened. But I want you to know there are many tonight that are socially distancing themselves. Let me tell you, in Jesus' day, the lepers were socially distanced from everyone else. There would be the leper colonies, and there they would be filled with people that had leprosy, and there was absolutely no hope, and people shunned them, and people walked far away in order to not have any type of contact with them whatsoever. I could not help as I read this, when Jesus came, things changed. Let me tell you, Jesus looked at this leper. Jesus cleansed this leper, and this leper was delivered from a life of doom, ravaged by a disease. Ravaged by a disease that had isolated him from his family. It had isolated him from friends. It had isolated him from social gatherings. He was an isolated person out there. Now, I know for these past 2 or 3 months, many of us have been isolated to some degree. But if you can only imagine that a leper was isolated until they died, or until some type of miracle would be wrought in their life and they would be healed. But I want you to know the social distancing and the isolation of the lepers, it was absolutely something that ate at the very heart of that individual. But let me tell you, the touch of the hand of Jesus in this particular passage changed that forever for this leper. Fifthly, tonight we see his touch transformed the dead. Jesus' touch transformed the dead. In Luke chapter 8, verse 54, it says, "But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, 'Little girl, arise.'" Here was a little child. I don't know about you, but you know, when you think about little children, children are helpless. And they are depending on us as adults. They depend upon their parents. They depend upon us to protect them and to help them. And here was a little girl, and she has died. And no doubt the grief and the grief-stricken mother and the family, no doubt this was a terrible situation for them. But let me tell you, when Jesus shows up, let me tell you, things changed. There was a great transformation. Jesus put them all outside, and Jesus took her by the hand, and he called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Let me tell you, death. Death is the great stalker that has been roaming this earth since the beginning of the book of Genesis. I could not help but think when I read a news article today that thus far, some 59,100 plus people have died of the coronavirus. They're not even sure for sure how many. I saw where they have also ordered another 100,000 body bags. I saw where bodies were being stacked in unrefrigerated places. I saw where bodies were being stacked in refrigerated places. And you and I are somewhat far removed from those scenes tonight in some places here in America as well as in the world. But I want you to know the distancing and the social isolation and all of the things that are being experienced by healthcare professionals and how it's affecting them mentally and how it's affecting them with fear. Let me tell you, tonight we have a great Savior. He's a great comforter. He's the great physician. And what you and I need to do is pray. Pray, Lord Jesus, that there will be a healing touch upon this world. That there will be a vaccine that will eradicate this terrible virus that's invaded the world that you and I live in. Let me tell you, Jesus is the answer to the world's problems tonight. I know there's a lot of people tonight that would scoff at that and they would say, "Where is Jesus?" You know, I've often thought about the various gifts that God gifts people with. I've always said for the many years that I've traveled up and down the roads to and from hospitals and nursing homes, I've often thought, oh Lord, to have the gift of healing, to be able to walk down the halls, to walk into rooms and see the transformation that can happen. You and I will never understand this side of eternity, why we don't understand all of the things, why this touches this family, that touches that family. This may not touch a family. You see, there are just so many what ifs tonight. There are so many questions that beg for attention and beg for answers. And yet, You know, God sees the upper side of life. You and I can only see the underside of life. We cannot comprehend. We cannot understand. But you see God's plans, God's purposes, even in the midst of what's taking place in our world tonight. Let me tell you, there's a God in heaven. He's touched by our infirmities. He's touched by our sorrows and our griefs. I can only imagine that God grieves as he looks down upon a world that he loved, a world that he faceted in the Garden of Eden, and he created a perfect environment. He created a perfect world, as the song writer put it. You know, he created a wonderful garden. It was filled with everything in the world that Adam and Eve could have ever wanted. God put a restriction there. We hear a lot about restrictions even right now in the various states and the various cities, and restrictions that they are asking people to cautiously be concerned about. But let me tell you, God had a restriction in the Garden of Eden. But it didn't take long until Adam and Eve were deceived by Satan, who is the liar, the deceiver, the killer. No doubt as God looks down upon his world tonight to realize that someday he will put the world back into the order where there will never be sickness, there will never be death, there will never be pain and suffering and heartache and turmoil and crisis like you and I are experiencing tonight. Let me tell you, when God looks down upon a fallen world tonight, let me tell you, God didn't create that fallen world. Mankind, God allowed mankind to choose. And with the choice that Adam and Eve made, or through Adam, one man sinned, the Bible says. Let me tell you, sin fell into the world. Sickness fell into the world. Pain and suffering came upon this world. Death and dying came upon this world. Aging came upon this world. All of the things that you and I see, the diseases, the plagues, the pestilences, weather conditions, all of these things that we see tonight. Let me tell you, death entered the Garden of Eden. Death is the stalker. Man has been running from that since the beginning. And when sin enveloped the earth, death became man's enemy. And for thousands of years, we see death. Now, we know that when Jesus Christ came, he died on the cross. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. But until Jesus comes, and until Jesus sets up his earthly kingdom upon this earth, we will deal with all of these issues. You see, the Bible says last enemy to be conquered is death. Even though Jesus has come, and even though Jesus is victorious over death, hell, and the grave, let me tell you, as long as this world is in the condition that it's in, death will continue to stalk its prey. Let me tell you, there is physical death, but there's something else that's far, far worse, and that is spiritual death. The world tonight experiences both. The world is experiencing physical death. The world is experiencing spiritual death. The world tonight needs the touch of Jesus upon their life. The world tonight needs the touch of the Master's hand. Let me tell you, Jesus, his touch transformed the disease. His touch transformed the deaf. His touch transformed the darkened. His touch transformed the doom. His touch transformed the dead. I think about the life of Lazarus. No doubt as Mary and Martha were grief-stricken to death. Jesus had been in their home many, many times. He had eaten at their supper. He loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They had befriended him. He had befriended them. But let me tell you, there came a day when Lazarus was sick unto death. And Jesus was away, and Jesus didn't come immediately. 4 days later, Jesus showed up. And I want you to know they were grief-stricken, and there were people that were following Mary and Martha out there. But when Jesus came and Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth," let me tell you, Jesus' healing touch transformed the life of Lazarus. But sixthly tonight, his touch transformed the deceived. In the book of Luke, chapter 22 and verse 51, but Jesus answered and said, permit even this, and he touched his ear and healed him. You'll remember that in the context of this scene, this was when Jesus, on the night before he went to the cross, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was praying, if there's any other way, if there's any other way possible, Father, let this cup pass from me. But then Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. They came to arrest Jesus. Judas had betrayed him and brought them to where Jesus was. And when that happened, if you will remember, Peter took his sword and he cut off the ear of Malchus. And Jesus reached out in those moments when most people in the world would have been concerned about what was ahead of him for that night. As he would go through all of that night with all of the trials, all of the false accusations against him, and then wind up the next morning at 9 o'clock on a cross. Let me tell you, Jesus touched Malchus's ear. Jesus healed him right there. Jesus did that to display the glory of God. But even in that healing, we're not told that Malchus ever got saved. I can only imagine. I've often thought, I've wondered as I've read that passage before, what was it that Malchus thought when Jesus, the one that they're fixing to take off and to crucify, as Jesus picked that ear up and put it back and he was immediately healed. Oh, let me tell you, when Jesus comes, when Jesus touches, there's a great transformation. Let me tell you, the compassion of Christ for Malchus that day, it broke down all the barriers that stood between him and Jesus. But let me tell you, we're never told, did Malchus have a life changing experience because of that healing that day? But let me tell you, that's what the healing power of Jesus will do to those that are trapped, to those that are deceived by sin in the world tonight. Jesus comes to offer life. He said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. Jesus said, I come to give you everlasting life, eternal life. But fortunately, much of this world, the majority, will reject that transforming power that gives eternal life. Lastly, for tonight, I want to look at his touch transformed those that were dismayed. In the book of Matthew, chapter 17 and verse 7, but Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. Let me give you the context of this. Jesus and Peter and James and John, he let them see the vision there on the Mount of Transfiguration. And if you'll remember, all of a sudden Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration and his face shone brightly, all dressed in white apparel of things that were to come. And all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah appeared there on that mountain. When Jesus came down from the mountain, let me tell you, Peter, James, and John, they were absolutely flabbergasted by what Jesus had allowed them to see, this transformation. Let me tell you, when Jesus touches the dismayed, they are transformed for life. Jesus lifts the fallen. Jesus encourages those that are downcast. Jesus knows how to lift people out of their pits of despondency and distress. But you and I must realize that we have a part to play in that as well. And that's our human responsibility, that you and I must exercise and do what we can do and then leave the rest to Jesus. Tonight, do you feel the touch of the Master's hand? Do you feel his touch in your life, even during these days that we've not been able to gather together? Have you felt the touch of the Master's hand? Have you turned to him? Has he been your strength? Has he been your joy in the midst of all of the happenstance of life? Are you somewhat weary? Are you somewhat worn from the toils of life? And you just need a special touch of the Master's hand upon your life this evening. I'm grateful tonight we have a Savior. I'm thankful tonight that we have an anchor. I'm thankful tonight that we can be sure, we can be very sure that our anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. The songwriter put it well by saying, "He touched me. Oh, yes, he touched me. And oh, what joy filled my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole." Tonight, will you reach out and touch him? If you're listening out there and you've never received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you've never had this personal touch of this Jesus who can transform lives and forgive us of any sin that we've ever committed, I want to invite you, I want to encourage you tonight just to reach out through faith and say, "Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I know you died on the cross to save sinners from their sin. You shed your blood that covers my sin. And the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, you've covered my transgressions." Let me tell you, Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus is the living hope. He's the living Christ. I want you tonight, if you've never received him, just pray that prayer. "Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. You died and shed your blood for me. You rose from the dead. And I want to be ready to meet you someday whenever you call for me." Would you just do that right now? If you've never done that before, Lord Jesus, I pray for the many all over the world tonight. So many that need this transforming touch of Jesus Christ, the life sustainer, the life giver. Oh God, I thank you tonight that we have a living hope. And that living hope is in the risen Christ. And God, tonight, that's what gives me peace in the midst of all of the struggles of life. That's what gives me peace in the turmoil that this world is experiencing tonight, that America is experiencing tonight. Oh God, to know that if we know you, oh God, we know that when we leave this life, we're going into the presence of Jesus. Father, I pray if there's someone out there tonight that's prayed the sinner's prayer and asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins and to come into their heart and life, I pray, oh God, that they would find a church home and get involved and follow Christ in believers' baptism, which is the first step of obedience once we received this personal touch of this wonderful, transforming God. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for those that are listening out there. Oh God, may the words that we've spoken tonight be ever imprinted upon our hearts and upon our minds to know that Jesus truly is the answer. And though time and ages roll, Jesus is still the answer. He's the answer for man's soul. And though some will say he doesn't fit with their philosophy, I know Jesus is the answer. He's always been, and he always will be. Father, thank you. We love you. God bless our church family. Keep them safe until we can be together again. Hold us in the palm of your hand and watch over us day by day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, if you've asked Christ to come into your heart and life, I want to encourage you to call me here at New Hope Baptist Church or write me a note and let me know that you've reached out by faith to receive this wonderful touch of the transforming Christ upon your life. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in.